Hi, this is Circe Olson-Wessner. I'm the director of the Museum of the American Military Family, and this is our podcast, At Ease. I'm speaking with Avery Gannon, a sophomore. I think you're a sophomore, right?
I am, yes.
Okay, in high school, and the brains and voice behind the Military Brat podcast. We're speaking via phone, actually FaceTime audio, because we're about 5,000 miles away from each other, and of course, we're still in a pandemic. So, hi, Avery.
Hi, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, so Shannon Hyde, who's our museum student liaison and the host of The Shannon Show, he introduced me to your podcast. And after listening to an episode of it, I wanted to invite you to come on to our podcast. And, you know, I heard the both of you interviewing each other. And it was funny because there were a lot of things that you were talking about that older brats still grapple with, like even in their 60s and 70s. Like the question, where are you from? So let me
My favorite question.
Yeah, so let me throw it out to you. Where are you from?
So normally I just kind of lay out the backstory of my life, considering that's just not an easy question to answer anymore. But I usually just say I was born in San Diego and then I lived in Charlottesville and moved to Japan, and now I live in Northern Virginia. So depending on who I'm talking to and depending on how long they've known me or what their answer is that they're looking for, I usually will just start with California and then end up.
Well, so as someone who was born in France, I grew up in Germany. My husband and I moved 18 times in 20 years, and then we just recently moved again. I still struggle with that question. And so, you know, so sometimes depending on how much explaining I want to do, I might just say I'm not from anywhere. You know, like, where are you from? Oh, I'm not from anywhere.
That's honestly the perfect answer.
Well, you get some weird looks, though.
True.
So what other questions do you modern brats get asked a lot, and how do you answer them?
Well, a lot of my questions really come from people of my age and, like, years and things like that. So a lot of them revolve around my past, like, school life, my favorite one is, since you went to school on a military base. Oh, did you go to a military academy? And I'm like, no, I'd be in much better physical shape if I went to a military academy. But I probably get those questions a lot about the schooling, and then definitely some of, oh, which parent is in the military? How long have you been doing this? But for me, it's always, well, been my whole life, but because my dad joined the service so young. But those are usually some of the questions I get. I try to field them with the best answers I can that makes sense to the person I'm talking to.
Right. Well, you know, and it's important to, you know, they're asking out of genuine interest. And so, you know, we may have answered that same question 100 million times, but it's the first time they've heard it. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I do have a couple more questions, and I imagine these are also questions you get, but I thought I would just go through all the stereotypes and get them done with.
No problem.
So what is the worst thing about being a brat? And then what is the best thing about being a brat?
You know, I think the worst thing that you kind of really mentioned it right perfectly is that you do reintroduce yourself so often, and you do retell your story, and sometimes it, especially when you're fresh out of a new move and things like that, it can be a little painful to talk about, and it can be a little bit hard to reminisce. And, like, especially when I moved in 2019, it was really hard for me to talk about moving from overseas, not only because it was just kind of a touchy subject since the move was still really fresh, but also because I didn't really want to seem like the kid who was, like, very the spoiled military child that's like, oh, I went to blah, 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 I've been blah, blah, blah. And, like, I noticed I always am very afraid of that, and I always get very, like, self-conscious about things like that. So I didn't necessarily try to hide it, but I definitely was not very vocal with it, and I even on the want. And I think probably the best part is, I say it almost every time, it really is getting the new experience, the new maturity underneath the belt, because I know whether it be living different towns in different cities or across the world, or you travel a lot, or you move schools a lot. I mean, I know I've definitely moved more houses than I have places or schools and things like that. So it's always that new experience and trying something new and really getting to grow from that and learning more about yourself along the way.
You know, you absolutely touched on things that people who have been, out of the military life forever are still grappling with. So you're right. I'm on a lot of, different Facebook groups, and people talk about they got in trouble because they would tell, the teacher would say, okay, introduce yourself to the class, and then they would say, well, I lived in Germany, I lived in Japan, and the teacher would be like, you're bragging,
Yes.
Or you're lying.
The one that I'm more afraid of, I'm afraid they think I'm lying. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid they're like, yeah, you moved from Japan. Okay, yeah, sure, whatever. But I'm so afraid of that.
Well, I think nowadays, of course, people aren't quite, they understand military life a little bit more, educators and things like that. So listen, you're a podcaster. That's how I got to know you. What made you decide to make or to do a podcast? And do you listen to a lot of podcasts?
So it's kind of a funny story. Ironically, I went into this as so I took a lot of classes over the summer for my school and for extra credit and things like that, and a lot of them required you to come up with pseudo products or pseudo ideas that you wouldn't actually complete, but just whether it be inventing something new or how would you improve your school with what product and things like that. And one of them fit the bill of, I was like, oh, I'll create a podcast about something I can talk about. And I was like, oh, well, being a military brat is something you can absolutely talk about. And I actually I was talking to my friend on the phone about it, and she was like, so you're going to do that for real, right? And I was like, oh, I didn't actually think I should. She told me, she was like, no, you need to. You absolutely need to. That's a really good idea. And she flat out told me, she said, Avery, if you don't do it, I'm going to do it. And I said, okay, I'll do it. Sure. So that really got me into it. And then I realized how fun it was and how much of a voice you really get to have. And that propelled me to keep going with it. And I am so bad about it, but I really don't listen to other podcasts. And I feel so awful, especially as a content creator and as someone who gives a lot of time to putting in the editing and the hours for this podcast. I really should listen to more, but I have a choice few that I pull from, and I listen to them as much as I can, but I definitely need to get out there more.
Well, so getting on to this content creation, so what is your process? How do you come up with topics and find guests?
I think I remember in about March of 2020, I sat down and kind of wrote the gist of the script, and I kind of used the same format, the same intro, the same outro, and the same sort of questioning styles I wrote those all down, and I wrote about 10 of them, and I fielded some ideas between my mom and I were going back and forth, and she would help me pick some, and I would draft some, things like that. But it really was when I was writing them, I was thinking of people in my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, I remember a time when this happened with, X person or Y person, and I really and then it clicked one day, and I was like, why don't you just invite them to come on? Why don't you just ask them if they want to participate? And I got pretty much a 100% yes, I want to participate, which was so touching to me and so absolutely heartwarming that they wanted to come on and speak out about what they are, what their experiences were, and what they're interested in. And so it all just kind of fell into line. And I think I've been drafting instead of sitting down and coming up with a bunch of new ideas over time, when I realized, hey, I should dedicate an episode to this, or, oh, I should maybe talk about this. And suggestions were great too. And that's kind of just the real creative process.
Well, so that's kind of cool. I like that. I like the spontaneity. I like that. But I also like that you're actually, thinking it out. So how many episodes have you done?
I have I've published 9 episodes, but I'm in the work about 12 right now. I try to plan ahead as much as I can, but I think I'm going to publish one this weekend, so by this weekend it'll be 10, but right now it's 9 published for listening.
Okay, yeah, that's what I saw. It's good to have a couple in your back pocket, just in case, you know, that's what you always have. That's what we do with our blogs. I actually have blog posts posting all the way through 2022.
Oh my gosh, I'm not that prepared. But
I have, you know, 60 years of experience about this, but I do, because, you know, you don't want to ever not have something if people are counting on you. So yeah, so I do that too. So you kind of alluded to it. So with your family and your friends, so they're very supportive, obviously, of your podcasting, you know?
Yes, definitely. I was not a great friend when I first started it because I kept it very much a secret, other than the people inside my family. And yes, I was going to on the show. And so when I was telling, unless you were in my immediate friend group, anyone outside of that, they were kind of like, what? Wait, really? And they kind of took that sort of that moment to really digest, like, she's really doing this and she's really putting this out there. My favorite story is telling my dad I was going to do it because he's my active duty service member, and he thought it was another project for my class, and he was just like, well, that'll get you an A for sure. That's a good idea. Yeah, that'll definitely get you an A. And I had to tell him, and I said, no, Dad, I'm really thinking about doing this, like, for real. And he looked at me and he said, oh, like, seriously? And I said, yeah. And I think it really clicked for him that it wasn't going to become another, like, back burner idea or something I was just going to forget about when I actually invested in equipment. And I think that was really a moment for him to really realize, like, oh, she really wants to do this, and she really actually wants to talk about this.
Well, see, that's our dads. You know, I told you about my dad pushing me forward, and now your dad, you know, helping you forward too. That's kind of cool. Do you ever get feedback on your shows? You know, you get emails saying someone really liked the show or they hated it or anything, any feedback?
I really have been very fortunate with the feedback. I have to say, the feedback that I have gotten has been actually all positive, and I haven't had any real, like, for lack of a better term, any trolls or any haters or things like that. It's been really quite a positive experience, and I kind of went into it and thinking, okay, well, someone could have an issue with it, someone may have a problem, but then I started doing it, and I really saw that the people whose opinions most mattered to me enjoyed it, and I think that was what propelled me to keep going forward.
So shifting gears, I know you lived in Japan for a couple of years. What memories do you have of Japan, and how old were you?
I actually kind of viewed Japan throughout two really big life developments, because I moved to Japan when I was 9 years old. I was 9 years old when I moved to Japan, and I stayed there until I was 14. So I finished up my elementary schooling there, which was one big chunk of my life, and I did all of my middle school there, which was another really big part of my life. So those two sort of developmental periods for me brought different memories and brought different times, different friends, things like that. But my favorite really revolve around the relationships that I've been able to maintain and the relationships with the families and the friends that I've made. And I talked especially about it with Shannon, where we talked about kind of how it means to have different, like, family members that aren't necessarily your family, but they're like family to you. They're not blood, but you feel close enough with them to call you your family.
Right. Well, you know, and you and Shannon discussed the disconnect you feel whenever you interact with people who've lived in the same place forever that aren't family or military related. Can you explain what you meant? I know there was this whole conversation about meeting people who've lived in the same town forever, and you feel kind of disconnected.
Yeah, I relay back to, I have a certain friend here who, he's lived in this entire town his whole life, this town that we live in here, and honestly, I know that he's told me before, he's like, you know, you've done a lot, and I'm almost a little bit intimidated by your life experience, but I have to tell him, I say, honestly, I'm just as interested in your life as you are in mine, because I never had that growing up experience where you stay in one place, maintain your friendships, you go on more of the local town, you do all the things in your town, and you grow up in this, like, one central stabilized community, and I never really had that until I started to really reach out and develop and really see my military community and the communities I am a part of. But I love to talk to him about it, and I'm so fascinated by his life, and so absolutely just, like, intrigued, and I want to know what he did for, like, his elementary school, what he did to grow up, things like that. And I think the one thing that I can't share with him is the fact that sometimes they will, my friend group will recall old experiences from, like, elementary school or from middle school and things like that. And I kind of just sit there and laugh with them because most of the time they're fun and they make sense to me, but it's a little hard sometimes knowing, okay, I didn't have that same experience. But then usually they open the floor to me immediately after and they're like, well, what did you do in middle school? Like, how different was it from our middle school experience? And so I still feel very, even though there is a little bit of a disconnect, I still feel very included with them.
Well, I think that's really awesome that they actually do that. You know, I've said, you know, I'm almost 60, and I have had this wandering life my whole existence, pretty much. And I feel that disconnect even now. You know, there's kind of a sadness, a wistfulness, a kind of a, you know, oh, these people have roots. They have roots, and they can point it out, and they can, this, you know, this is where they were born, and here's where they, you know, I just applied for a job, and two of the three schools I taught at don't exist anymore. Two of the four colleges I attended don't exist anymore. I have, you know, part of my supervisors have died or moved on, and it's like I look really sketchy.
It's so interesting, and it's so, I tell them these things and I tell them these pieces of my life, and they can't obviously relate to it on that level, but sometimes I'll go back and I'll be like, oh, this is completely different than when I left it.
yeah. Okay, pop quiz. Based on how you feel right now, and if you had to choose right this very second, would you choose a mobile life, like moving every 2 or 3 years, or a rooted one where you stay put maybe forever?
You know, I've definitely thought about this. I could absolutely still go with my life that's mobile and moving around, because it's just, it made me grow up a little faster, and sometimes I think that's good, sometimes I don't necessarily like that, but it really pushed me to grow into the person I am and the person that I want to be, and it prevented me from really sitting and thinking, oh my god, I live in too small of a town, or my dreams are, they may not come through because I'm not born in this big city town, not living the life that I want to live. But it really taught me more than anything that there is so much that you can do even at a young age, and so much you the experience you can gain under your belt, and the, like, the grounding that you can have is really, that really got to that point with all the moving and all of the early on heartbreak and the early on maturity. So I would definitely take the mobile over the sedentary life.
Okay, well, good. Good explanation. Hey, we're going to have to wrap it up soon, and I'm noticing that we're getting a little bit of, it's getting a little staticky. So I wanted to wrap it up, but I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. I wanted to ask you how you feel about the word brat. Since you chose it for your podcast name, I assume you're okay with it, maybe even embrace the term. How do your other military friends feel about being called brats?
I definitely embrace it. I've met some people that have found it a little offensive and have found it a little bit sort of cliche and things like that. I think it's funny. I do. I think it's actually a little humorous if you ask me, because I find it more playful than anything, and I And I think the people I'm closest with feel the same way, and it's probably part of the reason why I do too. But I think it's a great way to kind of put a little bit of lightheartedness on the experiences you have growing up as a military child. And I chose it purposefully to show, like, hey, this is kind of just like a lighthearted thing. It's meant to be fun, and it's not meant to be taken seriously and things like that.
Okay. So what would you like our listeners to know about you or your show, and where can they find you on social media?
I think if I had to really send a message across, it's that I really want to like join the community together, because even though you are around people you're similar with or people you may even share that military lifestyle with, you can feel a little isolated from time to time, especially if you live overseas. It can be really hard to sort of grasp yourself as carrying on in this lifestyle and just keep on going with the way that you're living. And I find that if I can help anybody with my stories or act as a safe space for a lot of people to show them that they're not alone, then that's really what I want to do. And as for my social media, I am on Instagram with the account of at Military Brat Podcast. And then I also have a website at www.militarybratpodcast.com.
Okay, you better say that slower, because I was writing and that was really fast.
No problem. My Instagram is at militarybratpodcast.
Okay.
And then my website is at www.militarybratpodcast.com.
Okay, very cool. So I will write that into the podcast notes below so our listeners can find you. So I just wanted to say that once again, this has been Circe, the director of the Museum of the American Military Family in Tijeras, New Mexico. This is our podcast At Ease, and I've been having a lovely conversation with Avery Gannon, who's the host of the Military Brat Podcast. And our museum's podcasts are supported in part by New Mexico Arts, the New Mexico Humanities Council, Sandia Area Credit Union, and organizations like Military Brat Seal and Military Brats Registry. Thank you so much, Avery, for coming on and doing a great interview.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
Well, it was wonderful, and I wish you the very best of luck, and I hope to do a lot of collaboration with you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.